Father, I pray that during the ministry of the Word today that You will meet all of the unmet needs of Your people. We know that Your Word is Your power in the earth. We know that Your Word is alive and it's full of power. It's full of ability. It has the power to save the lost. It has the power to get the sinner forgiven. It has the power to get the spiritually dead alive. It has the power, the ability to make it possible for a person to have another birth, another chance at life. For the believer, Your Word is so precious. It's so precious, Lord, that if we found it in a field, we'd go and sell all that we had so that we'd have enough money to buy the field. If we lost just a little portion of it, we would go searching high and low in the house as the woman did who lost the coin. We believe that Your Word not only has all of the answers for the problems that face men today, but it is the answer for all of men's needs and concerns. We thank You, our Father, for the liberty that we have to teach and to minister, to preach and to declare these wonderful everlasting truths. For all of Your Word is certainly faithful. I pray that You'll speak to our hearts and speak to our needs and speak into our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you to, Satan, get out of this sound system. In the name of Jesus, get out! Chapter 15, Gospel of John. Where you live has a great deal to do with the quality of your life. If last night you lived in a house that had no roof on it, you'd have spent one cold night, wouldn't you? If you didn't have a house to dwell in, you dwelled in an open field, you'd be both cold and wet. If your house is located near a freeway, you would have much noise to deal with in your life. If your house was built next to a paper mill, it would smell like rotten eggs all the time. If it was built next to a speedway, it would be very noisy, wouldn't it? If there are lots of dogs in the neighborhood where you live, you're not going to sleep very well until you get used to that. If you live in an area where there's high crime or where there's drug dealing going on, there will be danger in your life and perhaps even harm. It matters where you live. And the quality of the life that you either enjoy or don't enjoy, the degree to which your physical life or your natural life is blessed, is dependent in large measure on where you live, where you dwell. The same thing is true of your spiritual dwelling place. Where you dwell spiritually has great influence on the nature and the quality of your spiritual life. Many Christians, perhaps even most Christians, are living in very dry places, spiritual deserts, is what the Bible calls them. That's a dangerous place for a Christian to live, as well as an unnecessary place for a believer to live. There'll be no peace there. There'll be no joy there. There'll be no benefits from their relationship with the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, when they die because of their faith in Jesus, they will go to heaven, but as long as they're here, their life will not be filled with very much of what we would call pleasant or desirable. It would be very much like an American citizen who had the right to all of the blessings of life here in America to be living in poverty in some third world country. Even though he's entitled to all of the benefits, because of where he lives, he doesn't enjoy any of them. It would be like living in disease and pain and lack in some other place when the people back home are enjoying the fruits of liberty and their American citizenship. Where you live spiritually, where you dwell spiritually, has everything to do with the quality of your life. You can be saved, but still not be living real life or the abundant life as Jesus promised. And if you want to have the benefits of that which comes with salvation, you've got to dwell where the blessing is bestowed. You've got to live and abide where the blessing is given and where it can be enjoyed. And so I want to begin our discussion today from the 15th chapter of the book of John. These are among Jesus' last teachings and pronouncements, and this is a passage from the familiar discourse on the vine and the branches. For our purposes, I'm going to begin to read in verse 4. Abide in me. Now, the word abide literally means to dwell or to live. Jesus said, dwell in me, and let me dwell in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide or dwell in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide or dwell in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I like that. We'll talk a little more later about bringing forth fruit. But I like the idea that as a believer in the Lord Jesus and as a child of God, that I could bring forth much fruit. That would be something that would describe a quality of life that is desirable for me. I don't want to go through my life and have it not count. I don't want to live my entire existence here and have it not make a difference. I want to make a difference. I want to bring forth fruit. I want to be a bearing branch, not a barren branch. He goes on to say, for without me, you can't do anything. You can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. What happens when you cut the branch off from the vine? It dries up. And that's where many Christians are spiritually. Their lives are deserts. They're dried up old prunes or dried up young prunes. Amen. Age has nothing to do with it. Where you live is what determines whether you're going to bring forth fruit or whether you're going to be a barren desert where nothing can grow. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered. And men gathered them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. Bless God, that's not going to happen to me. And it won't happen to you if I have anything to say about it. If you abide in me, listen to this verse. If you abide in me, if you dwell in me, and my words abide in you, and there's a secret there. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Boy, I'd like to live like that, wouldn't you? I would like to live a life that where I could ask what I will, what I wanted, and it would be done for me. That would prescribe for me a quality life, a blessed life. He said, I can have that if I'll dwell in Him. So where I live has a great deal to do with the quality of my life. Abiding in the Lord Jesus brings amazing benefits and amazing blessings. So why are so many Christians not enjoying, as Hebrews 6:9 says, the things that accompany salvation? Do you understand that salvation is not the whole enchilada? It's the best thing that ever happened to anybody. But it's not the whole gestalt. There's lots more to a relationship with Jesus Christ than just salvation. 6:9 in Hebrews. Things that accompany salvation. Things that come along with salvation. Why are so many Christians not enjoying those things? Well, listen to this. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and verse number 24. I think this is so important that I'm going to wait a moment while you turn to it. How is it that the thief... Who's the thief? Satan is the thief. The devil's the thief. How is it that the thief is able to rob the people of God of the abundant life? What is it about where we live spiritually, where we dwell spiritually, and where we abide that plays into His purposes and His plans? I believe that's what God wants to show us today. Luke 11 and verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, an unclean spirit now is a general reference here to demon spirits, Satan's angels, Satan's workers, the ones that report to him and carry out his nefarious purposes. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. Now, just think about that just a moment. Where is the place that you're going to find most demons and most active demons? You're going to find them not around the rivers. You're going to find them in the deserts. The devils are most active, most aggressive, and most numerous in the dry places. Now, if you live in a dry place, you're going to live among them. I'm going to say that again. If you are living in a spiritual desert, you are dwelling with the devils. Jesus visited the desert, but he doesn't live there. I believe the reason that many Christians are not enjoying the blessings of the Christian life, enjoying the fruits of their relationship with Jesus Christ, is they're spending most of their lives in spiritual deserts, living in dry places. The word dry here comes from a Greek word that means without water. Now think about that. Without water. These are locations that don't have any water in them. But yet many of God's people are living there. This is a significant fact, I think. It's significant to me because it says, if I want to avoid contact with the devil, if I want to minimize his activity in my life, this is an important key. Satan is generally connected to the dry places. This is where he lives. On the other hand, God is always associated with water. He is always associated with rivers and streams and fountains and things wet. Remember the events surrounding Jesus' baptism and the subsequent temptation. Where was Jesus when Satan came to him and said, "If you're really the Son of God, turn this rock into bread"? Where was he? He was in the desert. And who wanted to do business with him there? The devil did. Now, where had he been just prior to that? Where had he been? He'd been in the river. Do you remember what happened in the river? Heaven opened up, and his heavenly Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, where do you want to live? You want to live in the river? Or do you want to live in the desert? Listen to these references. In fact, turn to one of them. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 43. I tell you, when I began to think about this, the Lord began to deal with me about this a couple of weeks ago. And here today, while we were worshiping, and the Lord just spoke into my spirit. That's why this place is called something significant about that. I can tell you from my own personal experience that I have watched people come and go through this place. I've watched them be in here around the water and around the flow and the river of God, and I've watched the blessing of God upon their life, and I've watched them walk out, and I've watched their life be destroyed. Are you saying, "Pastor, we have to belong to water of life in order to be blessed"? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I am saying when a person gets his heart out of sync and when he gets his mind out of sync and he says, "I don't want this anymore," do you realize I have had people say that it costs too much to be a part of Water of Life Christian Center? It costs too much. Do you know what it costs? It costs everything you've got. I surrender all. See, if you're not committed to Jesus, I mean committed. I'm not talking about partially committed. I'm not talking about just saved. I mean you want it all. You want it all the way. If you don't want that, you're not going to be comfortable here. And you won't last here very long. Because the people who are part of this church and the people who are at the core of this church and the ones who have built this church and the ones who maintain its strength today are totally committed to the Lord. I mean, absolutely, totally sold out. Sold out. Sold out. Everything. Spirit, soul, and body, it belongs to Him. Everything. Isaiah 43, verse number 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness. In the midst of your desert, I will give you rivers. See, God does not bring the deserts in your life. He brings rivers. God is the God of moisture. He's the God of wet. He's the God of rivers. He's the God of fountains. He's not the God of deserts and dryness. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to my people, to my chosen. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Are you thirsty? Then go where the water is. Disappear from your desert and go where the water is. Now, if you hang around here long enough, you'll find water. I guarantee it. And I will pour floods upon the, what? Dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit living water. I will pour living water upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. I want my kids raised like that, don't you? And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Do you understand that if you are planted next to the river, it doesn't matter how bad the drought is? It's only the trees that are not close to the river that die in the drought. Those that are planted by the river are still green and still thrive and still bring forth fruit, no matter what's going on in the world around. You must be connected to the source of the water. Isaiah 55, verse number 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Ho, all ye desert dwellers. Hey, all you guys that are living in the wilderness. Ho, unto every one of you that have parched throats and dry spiritual lives. If you're dry spiritually, ho, come to the waters. Come to the waters. Don't expect the water to come to you where you are. Change where you're living. Change your abiding place. As long as you dwell in the desert, don't you understand it hasn't rained in that desert for 50 years? Yeah, I know, but it's going to rain here sometime. You'll be dead before it rains in your place. Go where the water is. Go till you find a stream. Go till you find the presence of the Almighty God and let it wash over you. Is that what we sang today? There's a mighty river. It's flowing from the throne of God. Wash over me with your presence, O God. Some of us are so far away from His river, we can't hear the water anymore. It's so dry in here, we don't even remember what it was like when we had our last drink. Satan inhabits the spiritual deserts. Satan lives and dwells and does his activity in the dry places. God says, if you're thirsty, if you're dry, if you're parched, come to me. In the 10th verse of that same chapter, he talks about his word being like rain that comes down from heaven. waters the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, fruitful, in other words. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and so on. In the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus is found next to a well. A woman comes by. He asks her for a drink of water. And then he tells her that if you were to knew who I was and you asked me for a drink of water, I would give you a drink of living water. You'd never thirst again, and that water would be in you a well. In the seventh chapter of the Gospel of John, he said, in that last day, the great day of the feast, verse 37, he stood up and cried, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, an abundant supply. I'm just giving you a number of references here. I want to connect God up with the rivers of water. And then in the book of Revelation, the very last chapter of the book, John the Revelator told us that he saw in his revelation a pure river of water of life. That's where the name of this church and this Christian ministry comes from, the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and from the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. His servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, dwelling in the presence of God next to the river of God. You see, the reason that Satan occupies your spiritual desert is because he cannot accomplish his purposes where the rivers of God are flowing, because that's where the presence of God is. Let me tell you a little story about a word of personal testimony from my own life. This takes me back 20 years or so. I had been saved. You know my testimony. I was 37 years old before I was saved. I was a religious person and righteous on the outside, but filthy black on the inside. And I had been saved, the means by which are not important to our discussion this morning. But at that time, I was really hungry for the things of God, and I really wanted the baptism in the Holy Spirit so desperately. And I cannot tell you how hungry and how thirsty I was at that particular time. One Saturday morning, we went to a full gospel businessmen's breakfast, as was our custom, this little group that we worshiped together and studied together and so on, fellowship together. It's the group, actually, that founded this church 20 years ago. And that morning, I'll never forget this, the full gospel businessmen's breakfast used to start at 8 o'clock. We had hard eggs, and we had, they were supposed to not be hard, but they would be hard as a brick, and the grits, you know, were usable as frisbees. So we never went for the breakfast. I mean, we'd eat the breakfast, but that wasn't why we were there. You had to work through the breakfast to get to what you really wanted. And those meetings would run from 8 a.m. until about noon, sometimes 1 o'clock. And I don't remember what time of the morning it was, but I had been hungering for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I just was so hungry and so thirsty. And we're at this meeting that day, and in the midst of the worship, there are probably 1,200 or 1,500 people in the room. And we were singing, His Name is Wonderful. His name is wonderful. You know that song? You get 1,200 people or so in a ballroom singing a song like that, I'm telling you, the rivers were flowing. The presence of God was in that place, and the river of His Spirit was flowing through that place. But the devil was at work in my heart and in my life. And I was with one, it's the one time in my life that I remember feeling like I was two people. And the one part of me was loving what was happening and enjoying singing. It's one of my favorite songs anyway. I love that song. And the worship was wonderful, and the presence of the Lord was so glorious in that place, and I was enjoying it so much, but the other half of me was saying, I got to get out of here. I can't stand this. This powerful force was working on me to drive me out of there. And in the midst of singing that song, I enjoyed it as much as I did. We're singing about my Savior. It was expressing what I really felt. But the devil drove me out of that room. I remember walking through people like this, moving them out of the way till I could get out of there. I mean, I fled. I fled. I had no idea what was going on in my life. I didn't realize what was happening. But the devil was trying to drive me to his dry place. The devil cannot function in the midst of the flow of the river of God. He cannot function in the presence of Almighty God. He cannot do his work in your life if you'll stay in the river. He drove me out that day. He drove me away from the living water. What I needed and what I wanted was there in that room, but he drove me out of it. I couldn't go back. When I went home that Saturday, I was so defeated. I was so hurt, disappointed, frustrated, angry, not at God, but just at that's the situation. You know, that's typically the way we just get mad at the way things are. And I went through the next day, Sunday, and nothing changed. I just felt so awful. Monday morning, and this was really a turning point in my life. Monday morning, when I got out of bed and got ready to go to work, and I made a decision that I wasn't going to live like this. I was not going to live in this dry place. That I was going to, I didn't understand this consciously, but I wasn't going to stand for this. And I wasn't going to live in this kind of a desert. And I wasn't going to live in that kind of pain. And I packed a bag. And I told my wife on Monday morning, I'm going off. I don't know when I'll be back. Don't worry about me. I'll be back. But I don't know when. I don't know where I'm going, but God and I are going to get some things straight. What I was saying is, I'm going to find that river. I don't care how long it takes me. I don't care where I have to go. If I have to cross the oceans, the mountains, I'm going to find the river. I'm going to have it. For 3 days. I had a list, a legal pad, and on it were all my questions that I was requiring God to answer for me. Bingada, 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 bing. At the end of 3 days, I didn't have any answers. I had an empty belly, and I had sore knees. And I decided that, all right, that wasn't working. I was going to have to try something else. I did not give up on my search. But I knew that wasn't working for me. I did not know this, but the day that I left and I told my wife what I was doing, she was so concerned for me. You don't know whether you'll ever see your husband again. You don't know. She went on a fast. She went on a 10-day fast. I came home. Nothing had happened. I went on about my business, but I was still hungering and still thirsting. I am going to find this river of God. I'm going to get in the presence of God. And I knew that the key for me was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I knew that those were living waters, and I knew that that was what I needed and that was what I wanted. And I was going to have it. If hell froze over, I was still going to have it. My wife fasted for me 10 days. On the 11th day, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Gloriously, June the 3rd, 1976, there never has been a day before, and there never has been one since that is quite so glorious. But the river of God flowed through my life that day and has never stopped flowing. Now, I've had some dry places in my life. I won't bore you with the details of those. I've had some dry places in my Christian life. Because of some mistakes and some errors I've made, I have wandered into dry places, not on purpose, but I've been there, and I know that's where the devil works. And I tell you, it's a lot better living next to the river than it is living in the wilderness of the desert. Get in the water and stay there. Do you want a fruitful and blessed life? Look at Psalm number 1 with me. I talked to you last week about what I sensed the Lord was dealing with us about on the subject of double-mindedness. Are you in? Are you out? One day I'm on fire for God, the next day I'm on fire for myself. Won't work. Unstable. Look at this first psalm in light of what we've just been reflecting on this morning. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Beloved, those are the dry places. That's where Satan and his demons will be your companions. If you decide to sit in the seat of the scorner, stand in the way of sinners, and get your counsel from the ungodly, I guarantee you your spiritual life will be a desert. On the other hand, the man who is blessed, his delight, verse 2, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. These are the wet places. God and his Holy Spirit will be your constant companions. And what will be the result? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I want to be fruitful, don't you?
That's right.
Then I've got to be planted by the river. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want to exhort us today to get in the flow, to get in the water, and what I want to ask us to do today is get in deep. Get in deep. Don't just put your toe in. Don't just put your foot in. Jump in all the way. And for that, I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 47. Everybody find this passage, please. Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel was a prophet of God who saw many visions, and this particular vision was the vision of the reconstructed temple that was going to be reconstructed in Jerusalem, but I think he was seeing beyond that, and I think he was seeing to the heavenly temple, the millennial temple, rather, the temple that is yet to be built in Jerusalem. Follow along with me as I read a number of verses here, beginning in the first. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, that is the house of God. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. Don't you find this interesting? How God and water are connected in so many places here? For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, or faced the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looked eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when a man that had a line in his hand, a tape measure, he went forth eastward and he measured 1,000 cubits. Now, a cubit in Bible days, they didn't have, Stanley self-locking tape measures, and so the way they measured things was by hand, and this was a hand, this was a span, and a cubit is from here to here, roughly a foot and a half. And so he measured out about 1,800 feet here, 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. In other words, from the place where the water was emanating, they went out 1,000 cubits, and the fellow that was leading Ezekiel led him into the waters. He said, the water was up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were now up to the knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were up to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. That's the kind of river I want. I don't want a river ankle deep. I want a river that's over my head. I want a river that I can swim in. That's the kind of a river of God I want. I don't want a trickle. I don't know about you. In our church, I don't want a trickle. I don't want a trickle. I think this morning we had a trickle. Now, I'd rather have a trickle of God's water than have all of the devil's desert. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But I'm not satisfied with a trickle. And Jesus said, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be satisfied. Bless God, I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to bathe in the river of God. I'm going to swim in it. I want the river of God moving in my life and in the life of this church with such power that it knocks you over. I don't want a river that only gets my foot wet. I don't only want enough of God that I can feel Him on the edge of my toe. I want Him over my head. The night that Jesus was betrayed, they were having dinner. Jesus took a towel after dinner, wrapped it around Himself after He had taken His tops off and so on, took a towel around His waist, and He took a bowl of water, and He began to wash the disciples' feet. And He came to Peter, and Peter said, "No, I don't want you to wash my feet." Remember this? Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part in Me." Peter said, "Well, then don't only wash my feet. Get my hands and my head too." Oh, glory to God. And what I'm saying today is, I don't want a river that's only ankle deep. I want to be a part of a river that comes from up to the knees, up to the loins, up to the neck, and over my head. I want the river of God that will sweep me away. And I tell you, that is where the blessing is, and that is where the glory is, and that is where the devil can't touch you. But the problem that most of us have is we don't want that much river. We only want enough river that we can control. Amen. We want a river that we can control. We want only enough of God that takes care of our eternal problems, but does not move us without beyond our control. When you get in a fast-moving river, you must yield to it. It will take you where it wants to go. There is no standing against it. There's no resisting it. I had the pleasure to be at the beach a number of weeks ago, and there were some days where you could go out and stand in the surf, and it would just kind of wash by you. But there were other days when you stand out in the surf, and I don't know if you do this, but I just go out and stand in the surf and just play around in there. I can be out there for hours. I just love that. And one of the things I like to do is see if I can stand against the waves. Like this. I mean, just on my... Now, you look at me. I don't look like any 90-pound weakling, do I? But I tell you, it doesn't take very much of a wave to knock me on my tin cups. That's the kind of a river of God I want. I want the kind of river that you can't stand against. I want the kind of river that takes you along in its path. I want the kind of river that Ezekiel had here. Now, let me see if I can take this back and tie in with some of the things that we said last week. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians just a moment. Last week, the Lord was talking to us about double-mindedness and about the danger of being double-minded and being casual about the things of God. I believe this is what Paul had in mind when he wrote to the Corinthians. This would be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And reading a couple of verses here, beginning at the 20th. "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with the devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of the Lord." And I believe what he's saying here is, make up your mind. Either get in or get out. You cannot live with one foot in the kingdom of God and the other foot in the kingdom of the devil. You cannot live with one foot in the water and the other one in the desert. I think that's where many Christians are, without realizing it. We want a part of what God has offered to us. We want His salvation. It's known customarily as fire insurance. We want an insurance policy that will ensure that we will not go to hell because of our sins. But Lord, I don't want you to really have control of my life. I want to have control of my life. I choose the blood of Jesus for my sins, but I do not choose to give myself to you completely. There are many in the Christian church today that want Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they will not acknowledge Him as their Lord. There is a difference between Savior and Lord. But there shouldn't be. There shouldn't be. I believe what God's calling His church to is to get sold out. Sold out. When you go to the store and you want to buy something, they don't have any of it left, it's all gone, they would say what? We're sold out on that. Now, that's the way I want to be in my life. I want to encourage you to be that way too. When the devil comes and he wants to take something in my life, I want him to see a sold out sign. There isn't anything in me. Jesus said, the prince of this world comes, but he has nothing in me. There's nothing there that he can have. There are no dry places in my life. There are no deserts in my life. There are no places where he can work. Look at 1 John with me just a moment. Or just several moments, whatever. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse number 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one what? Do you know that there's a place you can live in your Christian life where the wicked one can't touch you? There is a place like that, but I guarantee you that that place will be wet. It'll be in the flow of the river of God's presence. You cannot claim that scripture if you're not dwelling where He has commanded us to dwell. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, the first thing I think you need to do, or we need to do, all of us, is I think we need to make a decision that we can't serve two masters. Either Jesus is Lord or He isn't. Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? If God's God, serve Him. If He isn't, then go serve yourself, the devil, whatever you want to do. But let's make up our mind. The cure for double-mindedness is a commitment to the things of God. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. Abide in Him. Well, how can I abide in the Lord? I believe there are two very important factors, and let me just highlight those if I can briefly as we close. James chapter 1 and verse number 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and this part is the key to our discussion this morning. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, this is not talking about your salvation. This is not talking about getting a new life. This is not talking about the new birth. This is talking about saving the rest of you. This is talking about, as we were talking in Sunday school this morning, about the soulish part of man and the sensual part of man. The thing that will deal with that part of your life and get you in the river of God is the engrafted Word of God. I believe that if you want to keep the river flowing in your life, if you want to dwell in Jesus and dwell next to in His presence and next to where the water's flowing, I think you've got to get in the Word. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. We read it in John 15 and 7. Many of God's people are not skilled in the Word of God and need to be. You cannot dwell by the rivers of God on the basis of your emotions. I tell you, this is something that I believe many of our old-line Pentecostal friends have missed. They understood the value of getting around the Spirit of God. But I don't think they've understood quite as well as some do today how important it was to be anchored in the Word of God. And as a result, they were very much ruled by emotions. And so when the river of God's Spirit was really flowing, it's hallelujah, Jesus is Lord, everything is wonderful. But when they weren't right in the midst of that river, they had nothing on which they could stand. And this is why many of our Pentecostal brethren have slipped away and fallen into some unusual kinds of things. Jesus said, God's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I believe He's talking about moving in the presence of the Spirit of God, but also moving in the Word of God. If you have all spirit and no word, you get fanaticism. If you have all word and no spirit, you get dry, dull orthodoxy. Both of them are no good. We need the combination of the two. We need the spirit and the truth. And so I believe the first thing that a Christian needs to do if he is going to stay, get in the flow of God and stay in the flow of God is to be a student of the Word of God. Study the Word of God and do it. I don't know of any one thing that I could advise you to do that would sweeten up your life or refresh your life like a drink of the Word of God. And it will be something that will be in you, that fountain. In you will keep you close. The second thing I think that a believer needs to do is to pray much in the Holy Ghost. That'll keep the river flowing. You can get in the river in the Word, and you keep the river flowing by praying in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20 says, building up yourselves, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4 says, when we speak in unknown tongues, he that does that edifies himself and builds himself up. I believe every Christian can have a fruitful life, every Christian can have a blessed life, every Christian can have a joy-filled and a peace-filled life, but he will not have it unless he dwells where the blessing is available. That blessing is the river of God. The river of God is in his Word and in the flow of the Holy Spirit through you. If you are depending upon your visits to church to keep the river going in your life, the river will not keep going in your life. You need more than that. You need word, your own personal Bible study. You need your own personal prayer time to keep that river flowing. Once a week is not enough. Three times a week is not enough. Four times a week is not enough. You will get dry between Monday and Saturday, I guarantee it, no matter how wet it is here on Sunday. Amen? And some Sundays are wetter than others. Hey, well, what are you going to do if you don't get enough water when you come into the house of God? What are you going to do? You going to walk with the devil all week because you're dry? No, you go to the river yourself. Get it for yourself. Amen. All right, let's everybody stand, please. Whoa, thank you, Lord. Ronnie, how about you coming to the platform? Lord, this is what we want to ask you today. There are times, Lord, we've had times when we've been in the church and we have felt your presence in a glorious way, and the rivers of your Spirit have just flowed through this place in a magnificent and wonderful way. And while we enjoy that very, very much, and we thank you for it and we appreciate it so much. What we really desire, Lord, is to be planted by that river. We don't want to just visit it from time to time. We don't want to live in a desert and just come once a week or twice a week and get a drink. That might be okay for some, but it's not all right for us, Lord. It's just not enough. We want to be planted by the river. We want to live in your river. We want to dwell and abide in that river. And I pray for each and every one of us here today that you will show us specifically how we may live in a river. That wonderful river that emanates from your throne, the water of life flowing through that river, bringing life to us and all who are around us. Thank you for showing us, Lord, that the devil doesn't swim very well. Glory to God He inhabits the places where the snakes are. He lives where the scorpions live. Serpents and scorpions, we understand why you use that language to identify him in the scripture. He lives in dry holes. And when we live in his neighborhood, he preys upon us. Lord, deliver us from that desert and give us rivers in our own personal desert. Give us streams, Lord, and fountains in our dry places. Show us how to live where those healing waters are flowing. We need you, Lord. We need you so bad. I pray, Father, if there's any here today who are still dry, that you will grant a drink, just a refreshing drink. For some that perhaps do not know how to get to the river, just give a drink. Or show us how to carry a little water to them so that their thirst will be quenched. Help us, Lord, to bring the water of life to those that are dry. Go ahead, lead that song.